Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into the Citizens Universe project. They've got this really interesting goal, building a decentralized digital democracy. And the way they're doing it is by tackling, you know, the big headaches in Web3 adoption.
Right, the seed phrases everyone hates, and of course gas fees. Nobody wants to pay just to do something. But it's more than just making it easy. They're using the smooth onboarding to create a verifiable digital identity.
Ah, okay, so how does that work?
Well, the core idea is minting a special kind of token, a soulbound token, or SBT. They call it a citizen card. It's non-transferable, meaning you earn it, but you can't sell it or give it away.
So it stays tied to the individual.
Exactly. And that's crucial for their DAO, their governance system. It enforces one person, one vote. It basically stops people creating loads of fake accounts to game the system, you know, Sybil attacks.
Okay, that makes sense. So the tech making this possible, you mentioned Third Web.
Yeah, they're using a combination of two key pieces from Third Web. First, there's in-app wallets that handles the user-facing side, the login. And then behind that, there's account abstraction, which powers the actual Web3 wallet, the smart contract part.
Let's break that down. The in-app wallet, that's the part that feels familiar.
Totally. You sign up using your email or maybe a social account like Google or something. It feels just like any Web2 app. You, the user, you don't see any complex keys or anything scary.
But wait, if it's that simple, is it actually self-custodial? Or does the platform hold the keys? That's always the worry.
Good question. And that's where the clever tech comes in. It is self-custodial. When you log in, a cryptographic key is generated, but it's invisible to you.
How's it secured then?
Through something called multi-party computation, MPC, or sometimes secure shard storage. Essentially, the private key gets instantly split into encrypted pieces or shards.
Shards, like pieces of the key.
Exactly. One piece might stay on your device, encrypted. Another goes to Third Web's secure servers. Maybe another piece somewhere else. The point is, no single party has the whole key. Not you, not Third Web. So you still own it, but without the hassle of managing the raw key yourself.
Okay, cool. So login is easy, custody is secure. But what about the gas fees?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that barrier too. How does this user, who just logged in easily, actually get that citizen card token minted without needing crypto first?
Right, that's the second piece, account abstraction. The wallet created isn't just a simple key pair, it's actually deployed as a programmable smart contract on the blockchain. Think of it as a smart wallet. They use the standard ERC-4337.
And why does it need to be a smart contract wallet?
Because that programmability allows for automation. The DAO needs to trust that this citizen card, SBT, was minted correctly, linked to that initial sign-up, and wasn't just bought or transferred. It lets them enforce that one-person, one-vote rule reliably.
So the automation, how does that trigger?
Okay, imagine the user signs up. Maybe they complete a step, perhaps even a small payment confirmation via something like Stripe. That action sends a signal, like a webhook confirmation, to the project's back-end system.
Got it. Backend gets the signal.
And the backend then tells the user's new smart wallet, okay, execute the function to mint the citizen card SBT. It happens automatically, instantly from the user's perspective.
But gas. Doesn't that minting transaction still cost gas? Even if it's a tiny amount on a layer two, the user would need some funds, right?
Yeah.
Breaks a free promise.
But this is the final, really crucial component, gas sponsorship. They use what's called a paymaster service. Think of it like a sponsor.
A sponsor for gas fees.
Exactly. The smart wallet is programmed to know that for this specific initial transaction, the SBT mint, it should request sponsorship from the paymaster. The paymaster pays the tiny gas fee. So the user clicks, the backend triggers the mint via the smart wallet, the paymaster covers the gas.
And the user gets their citizen card instantly, completely free.
Precisely. Zero friction.
Wow, okay. So pulling it all together, you start with a familiar Web2 login, like email. That invisibly creates a secure self-custody smart wallet using MPC and account abstraction. Then an initial action triggers the automated minting of the non-transferable SBT with the gas fee sponsored.
Yep, and that bridges the verified Web2 action, like the sign-up, directly to a unique permanent Web3 identity, the wallet holding that SBT. And that SBT is what the DAO's governance contract looks for. It checks if you hold the citizen card, which you get after engaging with their text, Citizens Anonymous, our path to complete democracy, and then grants you your single vote.
It's a fascinating pipeline. Tying a verified real-world or Web2 action directly to an immutable, non-transferable voting right on-chain. It really makes you think, though. What are the broader implications, maybe even the challenges, when you start creating these kinds of verifiable digital citizenship systems, linking identity so tightly to automated blockchain contracts? Definitely something to mull over.